from our studios in New York City and Miami, Florida. You are listening to The Striking Corner with Eric Rivera and Vinny Scotto.
Hello, everybody. I'm Eric Rivera, and this is the Striking Corner Podcast. And as always, I am joined by my good friend, Vinny Scotto. What is up, Vinny?
Hi.
You sound enthused.
I'm good.
You're good? Yeah. Well, all right. Well, first things first, obviously, you guys can listen to us at strikingcorner.com and on all podcasting platforms. And for our social media, you can check us out as you see there streaming at the bottom. The ticker at Striking Corner on Instagram, at Striking Corner on Facebook, and at Striking Corner on Twitter. My personal Instagram is at Eric Rivera_TSC. Vinny, can I have to get in touch with you?
On Instagram at Vinny Scotto.
All right. And as always, this episode, well, not as always, but this episode is actually brought to you by Florida Kickboxing Academy. They've been supporting our podcast for some time, and we love them for it. Florida Kickboxing Academy is at 7655 Enterprise Drive, A6, Riviera Beach, Florida, 33404. And the owner is, of course, our good friend, Asa Tenpao, who is the coach there as well. He coaches Muay Thai for adults, along with Marek Dadas, Jason Samchai. And then Muay Thai Kids is coached by Asa himself as well, Joe Muller, Tyler Matsukas. And Jiu-Jitsu for kids and adults is coached by Michael Spaltholtz. That is here in Florida, in Riviera Beach, near West Palm Beach. That is, once again, Florida Kickboxing Academy. What's up, man? So what's been going on? How's everything going? I know these times are strange. We're still in this shit.
Yes, sir.
You know, so we keep trucking along, and in this case we invited another good friend of ours into the podcast. He is actually out of Steel MMA in California, in San Diego, California, actually. And we're very happy to have him on. Good friend of ours, Carl Gephardt. We met him at the TBAs. We've been following his work for some time out of Steel MMA. Great fighters out of there. So we'll have him on in just a minute. And thank you guys for listening.
The Striking Corner.
All right, everybody. Welcome to The Striking Corner. We are here with Carl Gephardt out of Steel MMA in California. Man, what's going on?
What's up, guys? Good to be here. Thank you so much for the invitation, man. It really means a lot.
No, man. I've known about Steel MMA for a while and seen what you guys have been doing out there in California, but we had the opportunity to meet you at the TBAs, a year ago? Just about a year ago. And so it was good catching up with you there. I honestly can't remember a lot about what we talked about.
I was just gonna say that.
You know, I know we sat around the bar at the Holiday Inn there for quite some time. But no, it was all good, man. And we hit it off, and we love watching you do your work at Steel MMA. But so I wanted to talk a little bit about because I don't know if you might have told us this back then, but I don't know if other people know. I mean, Steel MMA, is that your gym, or are you part owner? Are you owner?
Let us know. I'm the owner of Steel MMA.
Nice, yeah. Nice.
I had a friend of mine that helped me set it up, and it was my partner for a little while, a good buddy of mine. Mm-hmm. So he kind of helped me out with a lot of the business side of things and gave me a really good opportunity. I'm the owner and the head coach and the janitor and all the. I'm sure you guys know what I mean.
Yeah, just like sure. The rest of us.
Yep. The beautiful life of owning a Muay Thai gym.
Yeah. Yeah, no. And so Steel MMA is located where exactly?
Yeah, so it's located in San Diego. It's not quite downtown. It's a little more like northern, almost like northern San Diego, a little bit east. It's right next to Terra Santa off the 52 and the 15. If you're not familiar with San Diego, that means nothing to you. So I guess you could just say
northern San Diego. 15, okay.
Yeah. Exactly. It's by a Dairy Queen, guys. That's the important thing.
Oh, cool. That's awesome. Cool. Sounds good. I was in San Diego once, about couple years ago. Loved it. Uh-huh. Beautiful city. Yeah. I was near the bar where they filmed Top Gun.
Oceanside.
So I was around there. And that's all I remember about it, because I just hung out like in that whole area. Great, nice little area there. And I don't know what that's called, downtown, or what do they call that district? Near the convention center.
Oh, downtown. You're talking about like Gaslight.
Gaslight. That's what they call it. Yeah.
I've been to California 3 times, and all 3 times I've never seen the outside of the gym.
That's what it's like when you travel for fights too. You know, you go all the way around the world or whatever, and you're like, "What's it like over there, man? Is it nice?" You're like, "I looked at the hotel, and then I could tell you what the venue was like, but otherwise, we don't do anything."
Yeah.
It's so true.
I mean, you know, talk to us a little bit. I mean, Carl, because I mean, we talked a lot over there, and so we just kind of like to get a little bit of a background. But I mean, you know, how did you start in Muay Thai, man? How did you start in coaching Muay Thai, kickboxing? I know you do you teach pretty much the run of the mill of the run the gamut there in steel MMA. So how did you get in martial arts per se?
Yeah. I mean, right now we do kickboxing. So we have, a few fighters in Glory. We do Muay Thai. We do a lot of the tournaments. We fight kind of all over. And then we just had somebody compete to try to get to the Olympics for boxing. But for my personal background is mostly in Taekwondo, originally in high school. And then I was a program director. I got my second degree black belt in Taekwondo, you know, during my college years early on. And I worked at a couple Taekwondo schools for a little while, and then did that, taught. And then kind of like you guys, I did Sancho actually with one of Kung Lee's offshoots. This guy, Ed Carpio, is a really, really good Sancho coach, run a really good business. I got into Muay Thai pretty much off of this book, man. It's almost like one of those guys that read a book called A Fighter's Heart by Sam Sheridan.
Oh, okay. Definitely.
Phenomenal book.
Yeah.
Just absolutely fell in love with it, started reading about it, researching it. And then there was a gym that was maybe about an hour away. It was Fairtech over in Mountain View. And as soon as I read the book, drove over, it was like 45 minutes away, signed up. Boom, got my membership card and, trained there a few times. They definitely took my money for sure. But it was pretty far. But, you know, I would go and I would learn and then I would bring it back. And I was working full time over at a Taekwondo school. So I would basically train in the morning time when I could. Otherwise, I'd work from like, 9 or 10 a.m. all the way till, 8:30, 9 p.m. And then I would just get my old buddies and we would train at night at like 9 o'clock to 11 o'clock every night just because it was fun. And it was something that was exciting. And I love Taekwondo and I did it my whole life. But I, you learn about Muay Thai and you're like, oh, you can elbow? Like, oh, that's not something you just do in the air. And, I think you want to move on to the next thing a little bit and try something out, And so, I started training Muay Thai, ended up moving over to Sancho a little bit under Ed Carpio. And then my now wife, she was moving to San Diego to get her doctorate in physical therapy. And, I was like, cool, I'll go down to San Diego. They have a ton of gyms over there. I'll switch over to MMA and I'll do my thing. And, now's the time so I can train and get into MMA. And moved down to San Diego, went to maybe like the 6th gym that I saw. And this guy, Alex Palma, was teaching at this smaller facility. It's only Muay Thai like 3 days a week. But I saw him teaching. He just really reminded me of my Taekwondo coach that I really appreciated. Mm-hmm. Just the way he breaks down moves and like, you can just tell a good coach by watching for them for 5 seconds.
Yeah.
It doesn't take long, And immediately I was like, okay, he's going to be my coach. And then learned under him. He made the move over to Black House that was opened by Big Nog and Little Nog. And Junior DeSantos was there originally. And then he was like, I'm moving over to this gym. It's a big facility. It's got a lot of potential. So I moved over with him. He was my coach. And, did a couple fights, but to be honest with you, I didn't have a huge fight career. I did a couple amateur fights and I kind of felt like my value was, assistant coaching, because we had people like, Tiffany Van Sos fighting. We had people like Adrian, UFC fighters. We had Marvin Madariaga. We had all these really, really high level, really fun, exciting guys. And I was like, I feel like my value could be more in helping assistant coach. And so worked under him for a little while and, just kind of had fun with it and made a ton of mistakes. I was just awful in the beginning, but I just kind of kept at it. And, when Alex left and started up his own gym, the owner basically asked me to become the head coach or the head Muay Thai coach, I stay over at Black House. And so I did that for a couple of years. And I was very appreciative of my experience and the opportunity they gave me. But I just really wanted to experiment with the gym. And, you know, you guys know when you teach, you know, you are kind of limited, even though you're being taken care of. But, you know, you have these ideas and, you know, you, especially as a young coach, you just think you know everything. And then, so I was like, I want to play around with these ideas. I want to experiment. I want to change classes. I think this is going to be good. And I just wanted, I wanted an opportunity so I can make my mistakes and learn a little bit faster. And then, so, right before I got married, actually, my friend, Mike, he was like, you know, what do you think about opening up a gym? What do you think about, you know, doing it on your own? And I was like, yeah, let's talk about it when I get back. And, you know, he helped me out through it, and we opened up a gym together and still started, and we made a ton of mistakes, and I've done really terrible decisions. But then also, you know, I think by doing that, it really allowed us to really find our formula and come up with something that we felt like was a fun community and allowed us to be a little more successful later on. And that's kind of the gym we have now.
Nice. How long have you been open now?
So it'll be 5 years in next March. So yeah, about 4 years or so we've been open for.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. I know, man, because you got a lot of you were just talking about a lot of names there. Obviously, Tiffany Van Soest. I actually spoke with Alex Palma a couple of times. He was like over at like Blue Ocean or something at one point. And was that his gym or?
Yeah. So he was the head instructor for Black House for a while. Yeah. And then kind of the same thing. You know, he had an opportunity where he could open up his own space. And then so he opened up Blue Ocean. Blue Ocean was always his name for a long time, which was always a really cool idea. And I think it really encompassed, you know, his philosophy on teaching, which is, you know, everyone's kind of doing their thing. Like, I want to have this other thing over here and this other way of looking at fighting. And I think that's what attracted a lot of the fighters in San Diego towards him. Yeah. The way he was able to break down techniques and things like that. But yeah, he left, and then I was able to take over that opportunity in Black House, fortunately.
Yeah, I spoke to him a couple of times, man, and I always thought he had a very kind of cerebral approach to fighting. And, you know, he loved all these, he still does. He does all these different techniques and styles and things like that. I mean, he like measures angles and all these type of things, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, so you said, you know, you focused a lot, obviously, you know, you don't have that, like you're saying, you know, admittedly, you don't have that much of a fighting background, which doesn't really matter really, I think, nowadays. I mean, as long as you love the sport and you really, you know how to, like, I think, you know, at the end of the day, cause it's the same thing. A lot of people discuss that all the time and they're like, oh, you know, some people say, if you didn't fight or was your coach a fighter or whatever. And sometimes it really, honestly, man, it doesn't matter. Both Vinny and I have learned from guys that were top level fighters and they were terrible, you know, as teachers. and then guys that probably stepped into the ring maybe a handful of times or more than a handful of times and are probably some of the best coaches, you know. And then, you know, sometimes you come along and you get that one, you know, super, I guess, you know, incredible coach that's kind of was an incredible fighter and at the same time he's a great coach too. But, you know, it's kind of I think it's really about a love of the game and studying. And as you said, I mean, the same thing of feeling like you know everything. I was guilty of that. I kind of still sometimes am. I feel like I know all this shit. I actually took, a funny thing, I took the USMF certification course and I think I completely bombed it. Part of it was because my kids were running in the room and like fucking like just going crazy and not allowing me to focus on watching the fights. But I still missed some things that I was like, damn, you know, I totally didn't realize that that's how I should have looked at it, you know. Or I mean, it's still and that's what's crazy now of, you know, actually going off, you know, talking about, you know, judging and fighting and all the evolution of Muay Thai in the United States is really that you do realize, like, even as guys like Vin and I and yourself, that we do know, or we think we know what we're looking at, or we think we know how to score and everything. It is a difficult job, man, you know, and it is something that I think with, like, the same thing, you know, I had my kids running in the room and they were yelling and there was like, there's pressure and stuff on you in that case. But I kind of felt at the same time, like, I should be able to do this, even if there's like people running around me and screaming or stuff like that, because
there's a lot going on.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
When you're judging a fight.
When you're judging a fight, somebody might ask you a question or something and you got to focus on not missing a technique or something, because it could really, you can miss a knockdown, you can miss something, or you can miss a foul, you know. So there's a lot of different things. that really I was, you know, I was realizing, you know, it's not an easy job, which comes to, I mean, as we're doing these courses for the USMF, you know, judging and referee certification, it really goes to show you, man, that, you know, what we're seeing in like the UFC and we're seeing when we see these fights and in Glory and everything, which sometimes suffer from horrid judging, that we're like, who the fuck is watching these things? You know, because you really do realize, and some people, granted, they're great judges and we know they have experience. But then when you hear that people don't have experience and they're throwing them to judge a fight, and then you realize how difficult it is really to ref or to judge, you are like, you really need to be qualified to be looking at this stuff. You know, it's,
well, that's one of my approaches to coaching.
Yeah.
Is I'm trying to gain as much experience, knowledge, and get as educated as possible as an official.
Yeah.
Because if I can understand exactly what an official is looking for, then I can translate that into what I'm teaching my members and my athletes. Mm-hmm. So that's one of the approaches that I've taken. So ever since, you know, I took the first course, the USMF course, and it was actually with Corley, Michael Corley. That's been the approach that I've taken. So from there, I started taking, every time there was a course around New York, I got involved with it, whether it was just taking it again or helping promote the course. And then, you know, I started shadowing and judging fights and stuff, because that's where I felt I needed to like kind of direct myself towards. And so far, you know, my athletes have been doing pretty well. So I think that's the best way. I mean, everybody's got their own way, but for me, that's the best way to approach coaching for me.
For sure. Yeah. And I think, you know, I think to tie those things in together, it's like, you know, I think when it comes to Muay Thai in general, you know, there's all these separate tracks that we have, right? So, you know, you have your fighter track, you have your coach track, you have your, you know, referee track, you know, your judging track. And I think all these things require different skill sets, and they require different, you know, abilities and different experiences, you know, within those separate tracks, you know? So like you said before, you know, fighting, just because you're a really good fighter doesn't mean you're a really good coach, but yeah, that experience will definitely help. You know, if you're a really good coach, that'll help you become a really good judge. But I think the more we understand, you know, the higher level you go is you understand how to do all of these things kind of combined. And at the end of the day, it's either know your shit or you don't, you know? So I think it's important that we have the avenues to where we can, you know, do these coaching seminars, do these judging seminars. You know, for California, we hit kind of a spat of, you know, close decisions that, you know, we weren't really sure why they got judged in that in a certain way. So we just, you know, we hit up the head ref, you know, and we were just like, yo, can we just go over and watch how you're training your refs and your judges? We just want to understand what's going on in their heads so that way we can apply that, you know, from our point of view, we can apply that to our fighters and we can educate them. So that way they're seeing the fights the same way that you're seeing them, because obviously there's a disconnect. And I think the more that we can understand each other, the more we can flesh out some of these, you know, gray areas.
Yeah. Well, what also comes into play there is you need a unified set of criteria and rules that everybody can understand, because right now, you know, we've talked about it a million times where state to state, sanctioning body to sanctioning body, everything's different. So,
yeah, and that's, yeah, yeah, yeah.
So, but yeah, anyway,
that's important. Yeah. Like for me, it's always like, that's above my pay grade, right? So for us, like our general byline is like, whatever you have to do to win, you need to win. So if we go into like Guatemala and we're fighting, we're like, you gotta knock him out. You know, otherwise we're going home with a second place trophy. So, you know, for us, I feel like, you know, it's hard because, you know, you're responsible for these fighters and you're responsible for these people. And so what you tell them and how you educate them is going to either make them successful or not. And then, so it's very difficult to not get frustrated if you know the rule sets and they're not abiding by that, by the judging criteria. But at the same time, it's like, yo, you know, nobody's perfect. As a coach, I'm not perfect. The fighters aren't perfect. Yeah. So it's like, you know, you got to do what you got to do to win. So if it's going to be close, don't make it close, you know. And it seems silly to say that because we should be educated past there. But it's like, again, for me, I'm always like, I can control what I can control. And like a lot of that stuff's just above my pay grade.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I mean, and going back to all that, it's just like, yeah, I mean, there's so many, it goes back to what I think, you know, we talk about it a lot, and, you know, I don't want to harp on it too much, but, you know, the USMF and everything, and we're trying to, but I think this whole thing about the cool thing that they've been rolling out, they've been rolling out these things of like courses and judging criteria and trying to educate and educate and educate as much as possible is something that I think is, well, we were needing for quite a long time, you know, and I'm happy that it's coming out even for my own education, in the sense of, you know, I love the fact that Vinny's like, when he started coaching and he started teaching and opening his gym. I mean, he's really jumped on this whole thing of really trying to learn as much as he can. And when it comes to coaching and teaching and making sure, mm-hmm. and he's, you know, it's shown in his fighters, and it's shown like how he's grown with a Legion Muay Thai now you know, and how he's doing things there. And I think it's great, but I also feel like, I mean, I hope people are, you know, I do get the sense sometimes that there are people that don't want to learn about certain things, or they feel like you were talking about, there is that sort of arrogance sometimes of people that think they know everything there is to know. I've run into coaches like that before. And it's funny because it's usually not great ones, you know, like the ones that feel like they don't have to learn anything new, you know. I kind of find them in these hate to say it, but they're sort of these backwoods gyms in areas of the country that aren't really that well known, you know. So they're not like from big cities or from, you know, like good, I mean, big areas or whatever that are known for fighting. They just kind of had to wing it for a while, you know, and then they think that they have it. And then trying to tell them, hey, man, you know, you could be a little bit more successful if you do it this way. You're not even telling them that they're doing it wrong, but trying to tell them like, hey, you know, you could benefit from learning this. It's like all of a sudden you're telling them that they don't know what the fuck they're doing, and they get really pissed off.
It's ego.
Yeah, it's a total ego thing.
Ego.
Yeah. But I mean, I hope.
Which, by the way, just with, you know, since we're talking about judging and you know, you were talking about my gym and everything. So over the years, Eric has kind of, aside from the podcast, fallen out of Muay Thai a little bit.
I have
moved away from the scene. But what he said to me recently was how he wants, and I'm saying this, announcing it, so that you can all hold him accountable.
What? So, I don't even know what he's going to say now.
So no, it's nothing bad. So Eric wants to make a commitment to being more involved in USA Muay Thai and the scene being a part of Muay Thai again.
Oh, of course.
And what he said was that the way he wants to do that is by becoming an official and judging and refereeing fights.
Yeah.
So I'm saying this so that if, you know, a couple months down the road or a little bit of time down the road, you guys don't start seeing him doing that and being more involved, you can give him all the shit you want, because he needs to be held accountable.
Yeah. But that I honestly said that the reason why was because my fighting days are over, you know, and I kind of feel like the only thing that I don't have to, thankfully being an official and being a ref doesn't require me to do a lot of cardio or weight cut. So that is kind of one of the reasons that I like it. So
for sure, man. For sure.
Yeah. I'm sorry.
No, keep going.
No, I mean, I could just sit there in my ivory tower and be like, no, you're doing it wrong. You're not judging this fight correctly.
but I think what you guys are tapping into too is like, there's kind of like two tracks, right? Like there's the backwoods track, and then there's like people that are putting themselves out there, you know?
Yeah.
So like Glory, for example, for their rule sets, they have everything written down. You know, they have one person that's really in charge of those Glory sets. And obviously, you know, depending on what state you go, it's going to be a little bit of a differentiation. But, you know, there's a guy that's like, here's the rules. Here's how we push in the states that we're in. Here's what Glory stands for. Here's exactly what we're looking for. And then if we're not holding ourselves to that, talk to me, and then I'll make sure that we're, you know, putting in a complaint for you, because we need to hold ourselves accountable. You know, if you look at certain gyms, they're doing the same thing too, in terms of, you know, the programs they're creating, right? So if you look at like CSA, you look at, you know, Patrick's gym over at Valor, it's like, they're saying, here's who we are. They're saying, here's how we train people. Here's the program that we have. And if we're not doing that, then hold me accountable. But, you know, I think the successful, it doesn't matter if you're a gym or a business or whatever, the successful people are the ones that are doing that. And the backwoods people are the ones that are not doing that. And then when something doesn't go their way, they're complaining about like, oh man, it's a system and things aren't fair and woe is me, you know? But I think there's definitely a big movement on organizing things and putting themselves out there.
Yeah, you have to be organized and you have to be held accountable, and you have to have a structure and things in place in order for your gym, your athletes, and for anything to work and be successful.
I mean,
there's certain things that you need to do.
And we go back to the same thing. I mean, if you talk about structure, you talk about, I mean, if you look at what, you know, the U.S. Muay Thai Federation was before, it wasn't at where it was now in terms of structure. It wasn't where it is now in terms of, I feel like, reaching across. You know, unfortunately, man, you know, I hate to say it, but at the same time, you know, I remember, like, I would reach out to the USMF before, and it was honestly just California. You know, it was really nobody else that you could, you know, and we were all the way out on the East Coast. And for a while, that's why you saw the East Coast doing their own thing. You know, New York had its own scene. And really for me down here in Florida, you know, New York was the scene. You know what I mean? It was for a lot of Florida athletes, you look at guys like Asa, you look at, we have Kanom Tom Gym up in Tampa, you know, look, and Alex Berrios and different fighters from Virginia and all those areas, really the way that they were getting out there and fighting Pittsburgh Muay Thai, where Stefan is and Marcus and all those guys were there. The only way they could compete at that time was New York. You know, those were the fights that they could go to. And USMF was kind of like, you know, trying to get on the US team was sort of, it was almost like a dream. Like you didn't know how to get to talk to who and who to talk to. And now it seems just so much more transparent. I feel like, you know, it's everyone's trying to reach across and be like, who are the best athletes, you know, right now in America? Who are winning the tournaments? You know, they do a great thing with, like, you know, reaching out to these things like TBA and everything.
Don't worry. We all have kids. We know how it goes.
We all have kids.
This is witching hour.
Exactly. But I mean, you know, now looking at TBA, looking at the USMTO, you know, the all these different tournaments where we can see, you know, the best athletes are, and instead of it being limited to one area. So I really think that's where the growth is happening. It's because we're more organized, man. And for sure.
And man, it's like, I think, you know, Muay Thai was really hitting its comeback, right? You know, with the amount of athletes that were doing well on IFMA, there was so much momentum in the tournaments, and that was getting translated to, you know, a lot of these top IFMA athletes that were switching over to pro. And we had, you know, I think we really had some great momentum going, because it's all about infrastructure, right? If we had the infrastructure in place, you know, the sport's going to grow. If we had the resources intact, then, you know, people are going to make more money in the future. So it's going to be interesting just to parlay that into kind of like what we're dealing with now, which is it's going to take a lot of cohesiveness to figure out how we're going to at least maintain some of that momentum and push that forward in this kind of like post or current COVID, you know, environment, right? So, you know, are we going to be moving those tournaments and those fights into locations like the UFC is doing in Florida? Are we going to, you know, how are we going to be pushing that? You know, how are people in California going to be training? You know, in the current lockdown, you know, how are we keeping people excited about future prospects, that there are going to be fights in the future? Because there's a lot of fighters that are super excited, but man, if these kids aren't eating, and if these, meaning like metaphorically speaking with fights, you know, if they're not excited about a fight, these guys are going to find something else, you know, whether it's another job or whatever that looks like, maybe a cake, a cheesecake, but you know, they're going to need something to get excited over. So I think there's an opportunity there for, you know, for us to maintain that cohesiveness and then try to figure out and keep people excited about the fact that like Muay Thai is still here. Muay Thai is around for each other. Muay Thai is a community, and that community will continue to thrive in the future when other sports maybe will be lagging a little bit. So I think it's really important right now. There's a big opportunity, and it's a necessity for us to maintain that momentum going through leadership or through, you know, community talks, whatever that looks like. But I think it's we had so much momentum going for us.
Yeah.
So I'm just hoping that we're able to maintain some of that.
Yeah, that's you know, the main thing is you know, obviously a lot of us are all shut down right now. We're not training. So the main thing is we have to just keep everyone engaged. Mm-hmm. You know, and we talked about it off air a little bit. You know, we have to keep things fresh, keep them excited. You know, because we really, really at this point, we don't know how long this is going to last. Unfortunately, I've seen probably about 4 or 5 gyms that I know of already that have already said they're permanently closing.
For sure.
So, and it's terrible. It really is terrible. Because, and you know, we look at it, you know, obviously the Muay Thai community is small and we're taking a hit, but it's not just, you know, it's everybody. Everybody's taking a hit in every sport, in every aspect of the country. Everyone's taking a hit. Yeah. So we have to, you know, so we have to keep people engaged, and that's the thing. So if we can keep people engaged, keep them excited, and then when all these shutdowns and regulations do get lifted and they stay excited, then, you know, we can get things, hopefully keep that same momentum that we had before this happened.
Yeah. And I think, you know, like everybody's doing right now across the board is how are we getting creative? You know, so if we can't do fights, and how are we meeting people up and then allowing our fighters to, you know, train, spar, whatever with each other so we can kind of keep up with the same talent level. And then they're still growing and they're still staying active. You know, so I think the fights are one part of it, but I think just making sure that they're maintaining the experience, they're maintaining progression. I mean, they're maintaining, you know, connection to the thing that they love and that drives them and that allows them to be better human beings, I think is going to be important, like it is for all of our students, right? Like, I think one of the cool things going on right now is a lot of these successful fight teams are really reconnecting with the majority of their student base because they have more time, you know, and it's not like all of our students were not important before, you know, just like for you, like you just posted about having family time, right? It's not like your family wasn't important before then, but it's like you have more time now and it's like you're having this reconnection, I think, with why, you know, family's important to us, with why, you know, our student base is important to us, you know?
That was one of the things that I had said, you know, when this first started, like, you know, we're running virtual classes, obviously, like most gyms are, but aside from that, what I also did was I was setting up Q&As and setting up, you know, game nights for all my members. Because a lot of the times, you know, and I've probably said this a couple times before on here, but a lot of the times in the regular, you know, hustle of every day in the gym, when it comes to teaching classes, training fighters, you know, things constantly moving, you don't have time to sit there and answer all the questions that everyone has. You don't have time to sit there and engage in a conversation with every single person that walks in and out the door. And also on the flip side of that, the people who your members, your athletes that train, they don't have time to sit there and ask the questions that they want. Yeah. Because who's running in straight from work, then has to run home to their kids. And, you know, everybody's got busy lives. So now with, you know, this kind of downtime that we have, we can actually do that. You know, we can engage more and talk more. I mean, it sucks that it has to be through a computer screen.
Yeah.
But it can be done. You know, all the questions that you may have had throughout, you know, say you're in the sport for 6 months, you just started training. All those questions that you may have had over the past 6 months that you didn't have time to ask or your coach didn't have time to answer, now they can get answered. So
absolutely. Yeah. Like there's students that I would never have had time to be able to talk to, and then now, you know, we're doing virtual classes and then they're messaging me afterwards, they're talking, you know, during classes, you know, I'm able to answer questions, and then just the communication is so different that, like, you know, I wouldn't have had these, you know, kind of tight relationships that I have with right now, you know, and then, or they're busy with work and they're not able to, you know, take advantage of a lot of the classes that we have had to offer. So we've had students that were coming in once every other week, and now they're in our virtual classes four times a week, you know? So I think, is it the same? No. Right. And, you know, there's a lot of fighters in specific that are just like, you're not holding pads for me. That's not Muay Thai. That's not what I do. I'm very good. And so I'm not taking advantage of this. But then there's other people that are like, yo, I'm losing weight. Like, I feel like I'm getting better. My kicks have gotten better. I'm sitting down more of my punches. Like, you're explaining more things to me and I have more one-on-one time with you, you know? And so I think there's a lot of people that are taking advantage of it, you know? And I'm really grateful that this happened now and not 15 years ago, because 15 years ago we'd be dead. Like, we just close our gyms, right?
Yeah.
Like, we would have gone. I'd be bankrupt right now. I'd lose the house. But now we have an opportunity to where there's a lot of these students that we can still maintain these relationships with. We can still help them in their Muay Thai journey. We can still help that community continue to thrive.
Yeah, I mean, as much as I really, really, really dislike this whole virtual format, there are some benefits to it.
Yes.
You know, techniques can be broken down in a different way. And, you know, obviously, you know, a lot of people, especially on the newer side, people who are newer to the sport, they come in the gym and they want to bang away on those pads. They want to hit those pads as hard as possible. They want to hit that bag as hard as possible. And sometimes, you know, technique kind of slips through and who cares? I get to hit shit, you know? So yeah. Now that it's in this format that it is, where you don't have a bag in front of you, you don't have pads in front of you, and it's more or less just shadow boxing, you have more time to focus on the technique of things, on focus on your footwork, you know, focus on things that you never really paid attention to before. So yeah. That is kind of the benefit to it, which is why I see maybe another avenue for when this things do get back to normal.
Yeah.
Because you can kind of, you know, incorporate both. Yeah. You can have, you know, your regular normal classes, and then you can kind of have these virtual classes too, that people can go home after they've trained and got to hit the shit they want to hit. They can go home and maybe sit in on a virtual class and focus a little bit slower on the footwork stuff. Yeah, and totally. Then kind of combine the two.
I mean, one of the questions I wanted to ask you guys, since you guys have been, you know, I know you guys are both really deep in doing the virtual classes, and I think we touched on it a little bit on the live that we did, where we had everybody, you know, kind of chiming in, but you were talking about virtual. I mean, you think this is, I mean, obviously you just said it's going to be a new avenue, but you think that this is going to, there are going to people, there are going to be people that are interested in these virtual classes only, or you think there's going to be a,
I don't know if I would say only, mm-hmm. But I do think that it could be an addition. Like, I've even had a few of my members already that have approached me and said, hey, are you going to keep this online format, you know, when we're back in the gym? Because they were like, you know, days that I'm working, I can't get to the gym. I mean, this would be great for me to just, you know, come home and do on my own time. So, I don't know if online only would be a thing, unless you have some people that really have, I don't want to sound like, you know, not in a bad way, but some people who are really like introverted and or they fear, because there's always that fear of walking into a gym. So they have that fear of going into a gym, but at the same time, they want to train. You know, you may get a few people like that, that go for the online only. Mm-hmm. But I don't think online only will be a thing when we're back to whatever
normal. Yeah, and I definitely think it's going to be difficult. I mean, especially because right now you guys have the time, you know, knowing you both and how you guys do, you know, whatever, and, you know, knowing what goes into a gym, you know, you're not, you know, in there right now having to, after a class, clean up everything and, you know, sort everything out, talk to people afterwards, you know, and everything that's happening. It's kind of like you have, and you guys were touching on it right now, you in these virtual classes, it's in a lot of ways, I mean, you know, we can always say there are things that are a blessing in disguise, as long as it doesn't, you know, continue for too long. But the idea that you guys are connecting in the way that you're connecting, and you never know, you know, with some of these gyms that have such a large following or such a large group of students, you know, like you were saying, Carl, there are probably guys or, you know, male or female that, you know, people male or female that students that didn't want to, or were maybe afraid to approach you or ask you questions or, you know, kind of raise their hand in class kind of thing. And really this avenue is a way for them to be able to do it and get a lot more knowledge than they would have just in a regular day-to-day class. Cause I mean, we've all seen that. I mean, when I was teaching, I remember same thing, you know, Vinny, as you were talking about introverts, that they'd come to class, you know, they'd go through the motions, they do all the techniques and everything, but they were kind of the ones that would kind of hang in the back, and then as soon as class was over, they were gone, you know?
Yeah.
And you never really got to know anything about them, but now, and they were, because they were really shy, but now you have this opportunity to kind of talk with them. So I'm wondering, you know, this might open that avenue too, where, you know, you brought that up too, Carl, when we were talking about the, you know, on the Facebook Live, you know, about engagement being key, you know, and I work in, you know, social media marketing, and engagement is always key for us, obviously, in any business.
Yeah.
Especially nowadays with, you know, how virtual things are. And especially now that everything is virtual, like it doesn't matter where, I mean, right now we're talking about Muay Thai, but in the business that I'm in, you know, it's a company, you have to still, it's a regular business, you still have to be engaging because that's all we have right now, you know?
Yeah. I think, you know, there's a couple of different things, right? So I think one of them is, you know, like you said, for social media, it's about engagement, but it's about attention, right? So I think right now the Zoom classes are possible because there's a lot of attention there, because that's the only avenue that's possible. You can't go into the gym. You can't hop in and hit the heavy bag with me. And then so the attention is on the virtual classes because we basically just got thrown into this complete market disruption where this is the only thing that's possible. But I think the underlying fact is you're basically on a platform and you have an infrastructure that everyone's automatically getting introduced to. And so now everyone's comfortable on it. Like for me, if you, again, four months ago, if you had said, Carl, you're going to teach on Zoom and you're going to love it, I would have laughed in your face. Right? Yeah, yeah. Because I don't even, if people like FaceTime me, I hit decline because it's uncomfortable. But now it's not a big deal because I'm used to it. And we kind of crave that, like, that connection with people. Mm-hmm. So I think in the future, it's going to be about convenience, right? So I think, you know, Blockbuster did not see Netflix happening, right? And then they got wiped out because it was all about the personal experience. But what trumped it was convenience. And so I think there's definitely going to be an avenue where people are comfortable on virtual platforms. And then the convenience mm-hmm. is going to trump that person-to-person experience. And so I think if you have that infrastructure there, it's going to be about, there's going to be a market for it. And so if you can do it well, I think us, we're definitely going to continue on, whether that's in on-demand classes, that's in on-demand resources. We're just talking about footwork, or we're just talking about counters, or it's a class that you can log into maybe twice a week to where if you're not in the area, you can still take advantage of it. So I think to some degree, this is going to remain, because every coach that's knee deep in virtual classes that I've talked to has said the same thing, which is, I didn't realize how good this was. I didn't realize how well it can work. And I'm going to do this after we open up again. So yeah. that's kind of my thought.
I still hate it.
Yeah. But you know what I'm thinking is, it's kind of like,
Sorry. For me, there's nothing like sitting in front of a screen and then somebody pops on for your class that there's not a lot of excitement like that, man. It's like, I'm about to get stood up and somebody pops up on Zoom, like they're going to take my class, and like the excitement they hear in my voice of like, thank you for hopping into my class is, I don't know, man. It's a funny thing.
I just, you know, it is what it is for now. I see the value in it for now and for future, but it doesn't make me like it anymore.
I see what you're saying. Yeah. It's exhausting, man. It's exhausting. I've never done so many jump squats in my entire life.
Well, I'm not teaching the classes.
Okay.
Uh-huh. I chose not to because I wanted to keep my coaches employed. Mm-hmm. So usually the way, you know, it works in my gym is I have my assistant coaches that they teach my youth program.
Yeah.
And I teach my adult program, and they're actually my athletes. So I train them for fights.
Yeah.
So, and they obviously, why I don't have them teach the adult classes is because they're training in them, because those are the classes I'm teaching. But now I have them teaching all, you know, youth, teen, and adult classes, because I wanted to keep them employed throughout this. So I kind of sit on like the producer side, like I handle all of the technical side of it, mm-hmm. and I have them actually running the class. And, you know, I'm still giving them their normal salaries that they would make if we were open, because I'm not teaching the classes. I have them teaching everything. So, and it also gives them more coaching experience, which, you know, is beneficial in the long run also.
Yeah.
So that's why I'm not teaching any of the online classes.
And there's a ton of back end work, you know, that has to get done, you know, so it's exhausting doing all those things. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, no, I mean, it's just cool because I mean, I'm wondering is like, you know, how there's these, I'm just wondering how there's these big, you know, how there's these big name gyms and everything. Like if they, I mean, cause there's been virtual classes and virtual stuff going on for quite some time. I mean, where is that? There's that app too, I forgot what it is, but they have like online, they have like aerobics classes. They have all those things live. You know, you have things
they got like crazy shit. Yeah. Like where
like the bike, you have Peloton like and all that stuff too.
Yeah. You got Peloton, and then you got that mirror thing.
Yeah.
Where it's like a TV in the mirror, and you can look at yourself while you take a class. Like it's some pretty crazy, crazy things, but it was never for our sport before.
Yeah.
It was always for, you know, yoga, regular strength and conditioning, fitness, stuff like that. And, you know, nobody's ever really done live virtual classes for combat sports.
Yeah. I mean, I still think you obviously need that element. Cause I mean, the one thing, you know, especially that I love, when I was training and everything, and I love teaching them too, where, you know, big time, I was big into partner drills, you know, and those type of things, you know, you're not able to do obviously in a Zoom call. So
the bottom line is, this can work. This can add to your game, but no one's going to go from doing all virtual classes and get in the ring and win a fight.
Oh, no, for no, for sure.
It's not going to happen.
Yeah.
I mean, you may have some, you know, really talented athletic people that will win a couple, but you're not going far with online only.
I don't know, man. I just got my virtual black belt, and I'm applying right now to Mike Corley to represent our country in the next IFMA. So, how dare you?
It's a virtual IFMA. It's like it's going to be like esports IFMA now. That's what we're going to do.
What's that? Wasn't there like years ago? I haven't seen it in a long time, but I was seeing a lot of posts for someone was creating a Muay Thai video game.
Oh yeah. I don't know what happened to that. I remember that.
Yeah. Whatever happened to that? Like, cause that might be the future of Muay Thai right now. Like you fighting. train online and then you put your
you make like an avatar. You make like an avatar. Yeah.
You put your attributes into an avatar and that's it.
That's not like something I can get behind.
Yeah, man. My guy will have like a pot belly and says love pizza. And that's just like, oh man. But no, yeah, obviously, you know, those are the things I think the cool thing is, like, definitely one of the things that's come out of all this, and I really hope that things get better and people are able to open up, because one of the things I've kind of stayed away from, I mean, obviously, you know, is, you know, at first, you know, everyone was commenting on Facebook, and Carl's seen my stuff, you know, and I've seen yours and stuff, and we're on Facebook, and where people are talking shit and everything, and there's so much stuff going on, there's so much noise going on when it comes to, you know, social media. People are getting frustrated, obviously, so frustration leads to certain things, you know, and people fighting about what's going on, and it's really because people want to open their business, they need to make money, and you know, I've tried to stay off of it lately, because really I realized, you know, in a lot of ways I'm not in the same boat as, say, you guys, as, say, of you two and some of our other friends in the community, you know, where I have a day job and I don't have to tend to the gym, and I can talk about Muay Thai and how much I love Muay Thai, but I am not in the, how would I say, in the trenches, so to speak, because I'm not running the gym, you know. And for you guys,
it's tough. And it's like, I mean, I don't want to, like, you know, like badmouth anybody or talk from a different, because I think we're all in different boats and we're all in different situations, right?
Yeah, yeah.
But I think this is just like the way I look at it. It's like, if I'm posting online about being really upset about kind of what's happening or what's happening in California, that's about me, right? But if I'm posting about things that I can do for my students or do for things that are in the Muay Thai community, that's about them. Yeah. And so I really want to make sure that, again, and everyone's in different boats, so this is just the boat that I'm in. It's I want to make sure that the things that I'm posting up and the energy that I'm putting out is about, you know, what we can do for the people in our community and not about my personal situation. Because I deal with that all the time, but I don't want to, like, project that onto, you know, the social media world. But again, that's just me.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it makes sense, because I feel at the same time too, like, you are in a lot of ways, and like the same thing, I don't want to, you know, badmouth anybody in the community. At the same time, I understand there's people that are frustrated. They need to make,
of course,
you know, and it sucks.
Everyone's going to deal with this in their own way, however they can.
Yeah. But at the same time, in a lot of ways too, for a lot of guys, I feel like sometimes you got to step back and realize that you are also, if you are the owner, if you are the coach, you are a representative of your gym too, in a lot of ways. And if you're, you know, if it's kind of like this whole, whoa, me, everything's fucked, you know, I'm screwed and everything, then, like, and then you kind of telling people, hey, join my virtual classes, you know, it's kind of like, it's a rough boat, you know, because at the same time, you know, you're kind of putting out this real kind of negative energy, but then you're trying to get everybody to join and hang with you and do classes. And, you know, so, you know, I kind of like your approach there. I mean, but like I said, I mean, I'm not saying anything is bad.
Not at all. And there's some people that are in a really tough spot, and they were in like a tough spot before.
Yeah.
Or maybe their setup is just, maybe they're just not set up for the tech stuff. Maybe they're just like, they tried the Zoom and it didn't work for their demographics. Right. And then, so maybe they're at a point where, like, either I open next week and I have a chance, or I go bankrupt, or, you know, gym owners, you guys know, it's like, you know, yeah, they're going to take $100,000 if I break my contract. And then we're still paying our rent. We're still paying our utilities. We're still paying everything. Yeah. So if they're in that situation, of course I can understand that frustration with the world.
Yeah. No. And I know for sure. Like, that's why I said I took a step back, and sometimes and kind of, you have to, that whole thing about, you know, you got to put yourself in other people's shoes, because you kind of got to understand, okay, well, why is this person so so angry or saying so much about this, and you know, and then it's like, man, he's a gym owner, that's all he's got, or you know, and really he hasn't been open, and different states have totally different situations, like,
for sure,
you know, like, yeah. You know, Vinny's in a state where obviously where it's like the epicenter of everything, God knows when they're going to open. I mean, I'm sorry to say that, but it's just like, you don't know right now, you know.
I told you I said Cuomo said May 15th manufacturing and construction. Mm-hmm. So I'm just going to put that I'm manufacturing fighters and I'm going to open on May 15th.
And you're constructing confidence.
Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah. But no, but that's what it is, man. I mean, like, there's just totally different situations. Whereas like if you were, let's say, in Georgia and like they're allowing people to open stuff up and your situation's a little bit better. And then other states kind of don't have a plan, which, I mean, you know, I look at California and, you know, I see a lot of my friends out there in California, and you kind of like up in the air about as to when anything's going to start happening. What's the plan? Yeah. And I think we're all kind of in that situation. And what sucks is it's kind of the unknown, you know, and I do feel for it. And especially being part of the Muay Thai community, because I see it in that sense. And then I realize, you know, you do get, I'm a very, you know, I come from a political science background, so I obviously have my say in certain things. But then I do realize when I'm looking at the community that you see a different part of it is how people are affected on a very personal level. And it's really like, dude, I can totally understand. Like, if I was in that boat, you know, shit, would I be that angry? Would I be that worried? What would I be doing? You know, we all have kids here in this group right here, you know, and it's just like, you know, it's a different situation when you're, you know, when you're actually in it and going through it, and you don't know when you're going to make, you're going to be able to open the doors or make the rent, you know?
The hardest things to grasp, I feel, in this whole situation is that this is happening to everyone.
Yeah.
It's not just us or not just, you know, not just me.
Yeah.
It's happening to everyone.
Yeah.
So everyone's dealing with the struggle, although the struggles might be a little bit different. Like, I've seen a lot of people, you know, posting, like you said, we're in this, you know, different boats. Everyone's saying, you know, all over social media, the thing is now same storm, different boat. It is. So, but it is happening to everyone.
Yeah. It's not only like in the same thing you were saying, Vin, it's not even, I mean, we're looking at it as just this, you know, this Muay Thai community view, because that's what we're involved in.
Yeah.
But you really look at it, I mean, I have friends that are restaurant owners, and like how tough that is for them, you know? And even some of them are even talking about this whole thing about opening at like 50% capacity will probably kill them more than doing deliveries and pickup orders, you know? Because
you need more staff on hand to open at 50% capacity.
Exactly. And then if you have to do social distancing. Yeah. And if I have to do social distancing, then how am I going to be able to serve, you know, like they were talking about putting like X's on floors. Like, how am I going to take an order, or how am I going to deliver the order to the table? You know, it's so much different, you know, and we're really living in an unprecedented time. But at the same time, you were saying like, it's not, it's really not just, I mean, we're looking at it, like I said, in the cone of Muay Thai, but a lot of people are going through it, whatever the business is, you know.
It's not you, it's not me, it's everyone.
Go ahead.
It's always like a concern, right? Because I mean, I don't know how it is in other states, but in California, the way it works is you're not going to get evicted if you're not able to pay your rent, but your rent is due the day that you can open up again. So once that shelter in place is lifted, your rent is due for all those back months. So some people aren't paying rent right now. But it's like, you know, you'll say you're closed for 2 months, 3 months, or whatever. You don't have to pay. But the day that shelter in place ends, like for San Diego, the day we open up, that rent is due. Otherwise, you get evicted.
That doesn't make any sense.
Whatever it is. It is the way it is, you know. So there are a few owners that, you know, let's say own their building and they're giving some breaks. But otherwise, it's due. And so there's a lot of people that are like, okay, well, if I can only open at 50% capacity, but then now I have to start paying all that back pay for my rent, then that's really when a lot of businesses are going to be going out. Yeah. You know, but I mean, it's tough. Everyone, like Vinny said, everyone's dealing with this, you know? And so it's hard to say for, as a gym owner, like, what was me? Because everyone's kind of in the same boat, you know? So I think all we can do is kind of latch ourselves onto what our philosophy is and really kind of, you know, jump onto what that internal philosophy is and let that kind of carry through, you know? Like, I mean, I don't know. It's like, you know, we're a fight gym, right? But we're also a martial arts school, you know, so we don't just cater to fighters, but that's kind of our thing is, you know, you're either fighting in a ring or you're fighting in my gym, but you know, either way, you're getting good at fighting. Yeah. And, you know, that is by label what we do, but really it's like, you know, as martial artists, we're consciously constructing, you know, avenues to in creative, positive ways for our energy and then our creativity, right? And if we can't consciously create these things, then we subconsciously become destructive with our emotions and with our actions, right? And you see that all over Facebook, to where we're not able to vent our energy, able to vent that creativity. And so we just kind of like vent on Facebook and we become destructive and we become angry, we become pissed off and we look at the lizard people and we look at all these conspiracy theories, right? So for me, it's like, it doesn't matter if we're open or if we're not, right? Like our vibe, our philosophy is like, we're here to help you vent in a positive, creative way, that energy and that like, that uniqueness that you have, you know. And then I would love to do that on pads. I would love to sit down and then brainstorm and then workshop your technique, because, you know, striking for me is a beautiful thing, whether it's Muay Thai, kickboxing, whatever. But if, you know, we can't do that and we can't offer that, then we're going to become more destructive. So our added value as martial artists is to give people an avenue for that, you know, regardless of where it is. And so if our gym goes out, we're going out like that. And then we're going to keep and hold to that philosophy. And then if we can't make the rent, we can't make the rent. And we did our best and we tried, but I'm not going to go out like, you know, pissed off at the world, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's tough, man. It's tough. Cause you know, I think, like I said, once again, that's your philosophy too, man. And like, really that's commendable, because there's a lot of other people that just are look at it in a different way, and rightfully so too. Rightfully so, you know, because they're really,
yeah, I get it.
You know, because they're just in they might not know how to adapt. They might not know, you know, I mean, I really think it's kind of just with any business too. If we look at it in a fighting, a way of fighting too, it's, you know, in the ring, it's sort of like you have to adapt. You know, we look at martial arts, adapt or die. You know, it's really like, if you don't adapt to, you know, if the guy changes, comes out in round two and he changes up the game because he changes up his approach to the fight because he kind of read what you were doing, then you got to, you know, be a step ahead. And then it's kind of that chess match consistently. And that's, you know, what's so beautiful about fighting. That's what's so beautiful about martial arts. That's why we got into it. And so in the same way, when you're running your business, that's kind of what you're going to have to do too. And it's a frustrating thing, you know. It's just same way you get frustrated in fighting when you're fighting against an opponent who seems to be a step ahead of you. It's the same thing right now, I think, for a lot of these businesses, where this thing, just when they see kind of the end of the light, they shut it down again. And just kind of when the light at the end of the tunnel, it gets shut down. Yeah. And then the light at the end of the tunnel, it gets shut down again, you know. And it's really that consistent battle and hoping, you know. And so, like, my message to a lot of people out there is, like, I think, you know, I honestly was going to do, like, an Instagram live at one point and be like, you know, I understand the frustrations and everything, guys, but, you know, we got to go out there and still just, you know, just try to continue, you know, doing what you're doing, you know, like you were talking about, you know, try to adapt, try to figure out something, but let's not be all angry with each other. And, you know, especially with the community right now, when we're, like you were saying, and moving in the right direction. And we want everybody to get out of this too, you know, and I hope they do too. You know, I don't have any, even the ones that I've seen that are like, you know, really posting a lot or posting less or whatever, all of them are cool. You know, they're all good people, you know, and
absolutely.
It's, you know,
and I think just like you were saying too, it's like, you know, everybody has, we're on the same boat and then we're responding it differently, but we're responding it sometimes angry, sometimes happy, sometimes positive, sometimes negative in different phases. And then, so I think a lot of that frustration is maybe this person's on their angry day and I'm in my positivity and then everything's going to work out fine day. And then we clash. Right.
Yeah.
So I think there has to be a lot of forgiveness in terms of like, maybe we had different perspectives on this day, but we see eye to eye normally, you know, or maybe we don't see eye to eye normally, but that's okay too. And we think we have to have some like communal forgiveness, you know, that.
I just think that being like cabin fever causes you to be a bit bipolar.
For sure.
Oh, for sure, man. For sure.
For sure. For sure. And then how many people are drinking and posting or they just watched, you know, like X person on YouTube and then got really pissed off and then immediately jumped up and saw your post, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
So, yeah, I mean, we got to give each other a break. Yep.
But man, anyway, I mean, we've talked a lot about a lot of great stuff. I mean, obviously COVID is a big thing, but it's not everything, you know. Really with Muay Thai, the one thing is we wanted to get you on, Carl, because you've been in the game. We've talked to you, you know, we respect what you're doing. You're a great dude, man, you know, and we're, you know, we've wanted to have you on since we met you. And I think you're doing great things over there at Steel MMA. I mean, the gym is beautiful. You guys are, you know, have some great fighters out of the gym, and you know, it's looking good. And I hope, like you were talking about momentum, the momentum was there, and the momentum, you know, I still think will be there, because one of the things that we're trying to do, and one of the things that I think is good, really is, if you've really, everything we've talked about right now is, we're all out there posting and talking to each other and, you know, sharing fights or looking at, hey, what's going to, you know, yes, we're talking about different things and maybe in a political, like when are things going to open? But the one thing this shows me is that the community has gotten a lot tighter. It's really caring about each other, trying to figure out, I've seen obviously the posts about, you know, people are, you know, trying to coach other guys into, hey man, how are you? How did you get the we know all about the business loans and everything that was going on. And did you get it? Did you not get it? How did you get it? What did you do? You know, everybody's kind of helping each other out, figuring, you know, and that's like when this community is kind of like, I've seen that the community's come out and really they're trying to help each other because everyone's trying to survive, you know, and it goes to show you that momentum is still there. It's just in a different way. And I think when we come out of this, I really think it's going to be, you know, and I hope for it sooner rather than later. You know, I think people are going to be so jazzed up to hit the ground running, you know, and get back in there, get back in the gym, get back into fights when the possibility's there, you know, we're all going to want to, you know, so I think, and I think we talked about it too, Vinny, in the past. It was really in a past podcast, we were talking about, like, you know, how appreciative people might be of their gyms when this is all over, you know?
Yeah.
And be like, you know, maybe when I was a two a week kind of guy or one a week kind of person. And then now it's like, shit, I want to go there every fucking day. Cause I don't know, you know, if I'm going to be able to do this all the time, you know? So
I think there's a lot of things that a lot of people are going to be appreciative of after this.
Oh, for sure. For sure. But I mean, looking at it from our gym perspectives is if everybody in these gyms, you guys are able to hold out and get to that finish line, let's say, and or to when finally things are open and however much the people start trickling in or everything, I really think we're going to reap the rewards of kind of like seeing that this was just a kind of momentary lapse. It was just kind of a momentary obstacle. And all of a sudden, you know, because one of the jokes that I heard that people were making is like, nobody wanted to work out before, but when people told them that everything was shut down, it's like all of a sudden everybody wanted to be a fucking runner. You know, so it was like, you know, and I've noticed it. I've noticed it too, man, because I've gone out to walking with my wife, you know, and with the kids. And I'm like, never have I seen this many people out, you know, supposedly doing fitness, you know. So like, where were you people when things weren't shut down?
why don't you ask yourself that question? Because I doubt you were going for walks with your wife
for sure
before this happened.
But I didn't, you know what it is? I'm gonna say the same bullshit reason. I didn't have time. But now you know, but it wasn't priorities. Like that. Yeah, it wasn't like that. It definitely is priorities. Yeah. And that's one of the things we're gonna learn from all this. Yeah.
For sure. Yeah. So first of all, thank you for the kind words. I really appreciate that. We felt like we work really hard, so I really appreciate you saying that. And, you know, I've always wanted to be on the show, so I really appreciate the offer. And I'm glad when I saw you guys in Iowa, I had the opportunity to tell you guys that I listened to the show and what I thought about it and what a great, I think, addition it is to the community. And things like this are, I think, are really what we're missing, you know, in the Muay Thai community, which is, you know, I think people bringing on, you know, the top minds, not including myself, to really talk about Muay Thai and then talking about just the community and then, you know, analyzing tournaments, analyzing fights, where's what the problems are, here's how we're going to fix them. And I think that's a big thing that we're missing. And so I think you guys have really, you know, found your niche that is a huge part of the community and its growth. But I agree, man. I think I think in general, there's a huge appreciation for life and for people and for our own time. And I think that's the biggest thing that we're really finding appreciation for, you know, whether it's spending more time with the family or working out. And I think there was this, there's always this momentum towards just filling your schedule because you have to fill your schedule. But I think now more than ever, we're so much more appreciative of having free time and really dialing in like what's important to us. And so, yeah, I think there's going to be a huge snap. Cause I mean, as a coach, dude, I get burnt out, man. I get tired of holding pads and being away. And, you know, we'll go 5 weeks where we're doing double headers, you know, for the weekend. And I don't see my family, you know, and you start to wonder like, man, should I be doing this? And like, I drank 6 Red Bulls today. Is that the best thing for me? But man, I can tell you like, I've never,
the answer's been so no, jazzed. But yeah,
but yeah, I've just been never been so jazzed about like teaching martial arts, non-specific in my entire life. And never been so like, this is who I am and this is what I want to do, you know? So I think there's a huge appreciation for life and it's a wonderful thing.
Yeah. All right, man. Well, I definitely appreciate you being on the show. It was good having you. It was good chatting. I know the times are a little strange, but definitely, you know, that's how life is. You know, there's ups and downs, yeah. and it's just, I think this is kind of the first time that it's been a communal up and down, you know, like a communal,
yeah.
Everyone's had to go through the same shit together. So it's a little strange in that sense, but I think we're all going to come out strong. And anyway, man, I, you know, nothing but wish you guys at Steel MMA and your whole team and everybody nothing but the best. I know you're going to do well and you're going to come out of this. And so thanks for joining us, man. And we'll talk again soon.
Yeah. Thanks so much, guys. Really appreciate the opportunity. Thank you for what you do.
All right, everybody. So that was our good friend, Carl Gephardt. And we just wanted to say thank you again to him for joining us on today's episode. And thank you again to all of you for joining us on today's episode. Once again, you can find us at strikingcorner.com for all the episodes of the podcast, as well as where all podcasts are found, Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, SoundCloud, you know it. And also on Instagram at Striking Corner, on Facebook at Striking Corner, and on Twitter at Striking Corner as well. My personal Instagram, which is the one I know you guys all want to follow, is Eric Rivera _TSC. And Vinny, not many people follow you, but go ahead.
I'm still on my quest for 10,000 followers, but you can find me at Vinny Scotto.
Yeah, a lot of awesome stuff going on there. He's such a influencer over there. But anyway, guys, you know, thank you for joining us on this episode of the Striking Corner podcast. Well, this is our second or third maybe video podcast, I don't know, but anyway, we, you know, we're still offering this as well now, in addition to the audio podcast, so you can check it out on youtube.com/thestrikingcorner. But we'll have it posted everywhere, with the link as well on our Facebook page and everything, so you can check that out. But just look us up on YouTube as The Striking Corner. We have a bunch of videos there as well from past podcasts and other stuff we did way back in the day. But we're going to start uploading.
Shut
this.
Up.
What? Are you so tired?
Shut it's up. Like 11 you're o'clock. Rambling on. You said the same thing already.
Yeah. So, Vinny, where can they get in touch with you?
Bye.
All right, guys. Thank you. Thank you for listening. And we'll talk to you again soon.
You've been listening to The Striking Corner with Eric Rivera and Vinny Scotto.